As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey everybody, it's Zach Harper. Some would call me the voice of The Athletic. Some also really wouldn't call me that and wouldn't like me saying it. Probably my bosses. You know me from the Athletic NBA show on the Athletic Podcast Network. I do Basket Buds on Monday. I do Point of Contention on Thursday. Now you also know me from the restricted area. What's the restricted area, you ask? I'm so glad you asked me that. It's the Athletic's new weekly YouTube show. That's right. YouTube channel. The Athletic. It's me. It's Wozni Lambre. We're breaking down the most ridiculous and most interesting stories every single week. We're going to have a lot of fun. We'll make a lot of jokes. We'll have a lot of cool visuals. You won't want to miss this. So go over to the Athletic's YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button, smash that like button, leave a nice comment, leave a funny comment, but just don't leave a rude comment. But make sure you check it out. We'll see you there. Well, actually, it's a video. You'll see us there. But if we could see you, that'd be kind of creepy.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA show, Monday through Friday
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of Basket Buds on the Athletic NBA Show Network. Zach Harper and Dave Dufour are out this week for various reasons. We wish those guys well. But of course, myself, Black Trey out in Portland, and Jay King in Western Mass are going to hold down the fort and handle things for you guys today. So coming up on the show, James Wiseman has already told Minnesota to go bug off. It's, you know, we're going to get into the hilarity of a guy who's not even in the league already saying to himself, I'm too good for Minnesota. We're also going to get into the destinations, the rumored destinations of two really good point guards, man. Chris Paul and Jrue Holiday. That they've been put on the market. I think they'll both have some suitors. And I think it'll be on teams that are going to matter, right? Teams that are going to contend for something next year. And so we'll get into that. But first, guys, the NBA is coming back in roughly 6 weeks or 7 weeks. The owners and the players union have basically agreed to the framework of a deal that will have them play a 72-game season starting on December 22nd. 72 games, as we know, is the threshold for them to retain all the TV money. I think there was a thought that they wanted to try to get, you know, stadium crowd money, you know, concession money, try to push the season back in order to achieve that maybe in March or whatever. But I think they got better insights and knowledge into the fact that the ratings were freaking horrible. So the TV partners are like, dude, we can't sandwich these games that we paid all this money for in the middle of NFL and baseball season again. Like, that's just a terrible idea. In order to get the schedule right, let's just start this thing right on up. And I think that's what you got. And I think it's the smart thing to do, honestly, to get their schedules back aligned. Who knows what it'll be, what the world will be like in April and May or whatever. Perhaps maybe by the playoffs, they'll be able to get some gate money. But I think this is the smart move. I think the players are wise to understand and recognize that, like, financially, and to just get things back on track, it makes the most sense to come back. I know for somebody like the Lakers or the Heat, it's a bit difficult because they just played a bunch of games and they're going to have to get right back into it. But I'm honestly of the mind, guys, that you guys had like 6 months off. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think they'll be fine. And I think guys would be smart. Teams are so much smarter these days about the type of physical stuff, Jay. So I just, you know, I'm happy that they're doing this. I'm happy that the finals are going to end by June, July. I'm happy that next season, October, we'll get a regular NBA start and be, you know, back into doing business as usual. So I'm pretty pleased with this decision that they've come to.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of the players are upset because, like the Lakers, for example, they finished up playing, what was it, a month ago? Less than a month ago. The Heat, same thing. And you look at LeBron. He's in year 17, as I know you like to say, Waz. and he could use a longer offseason. He could definitely use some more time off. But first of all, money talks. And second of all, I think the league has decided to get back on the regular schedule. And this makes the most sense to start a little quicker. And it's not that much quicker. It's like 3.5-4 weeks quicker than the timeline that the players proposed. So it wouldn't have been that much of a difference for the players to do this. And then, you know, all that money really matters. And then getting the league back on the timeline that they want to play at and get me back my summer vacation, get Damian Lillard back his summer vacation. I know he tweeted that he wants that. And I'm sure a lot of players want their break again during the summer. So that matters to a lot of guys. And this is like, I think it'll probably be an annoyance for some teams, but it's an annoyance that in the short term will pay well in dollars, and in the long term will pay well in just getting back to normalcy.
Trey, what do you think? What type of effect do you think this will have on the season? I'm curious because when the bubble game started back up, I was expecting to see some level of rust or, you know, guys not being too sharp and all of that stuff. But, yo, these dudes came back. We're playing hard as hell, and we're executing at a pretty high level. How do you think this will affect the season that basically is coming upon us, right? Very soon, training camp is going to start December 1st.
Man, all that stuff is a myth, man. It's just like writer's block, bro. At the end of the day, dude, like these dudes are pros. They know what they need to do. Obviously, they're just not getting their way at this moment. Yes, the Lakers won a championship roughly 3 weeks, almost a month ago. But like you mentioned before earlier in the show that, you know, these guys had 3 to 4 months off prior to the bubble. So, you know, it probably wasn't the time where they wanted their break, but they got a break. You know what I mean? Like, and yes, they played extremely hard and guys mentally were in a bubble for 100 days or so, you know, the championship teams. And you think about it with this small time with their families. I mean, they're getting paid millions of dollars to play a sport, you know. So, you know, whether, you know, for the people that complain about the season being too long, they get their wish of a 72 game season, which probably is going to be the long term rollout from here on out. So those people will be happy about that. The NBA will be happy about being able to close the gap on the money that they've lost. And then just kind of just ending up on a decent time of potentially July finish. And that's fine. So, you know, at this point, I'm just looking at it as, you know, business as usual, man. For all the players that feel like, you know, it's coming back too soon, especially like LeBron and, you know, other guys. I mean, Jimmy Butler's probably not complaining. I know LeBron started working out like the first day when he got back home. So this is nothing new. Yes, he's older, and yes, he would probably like more rest to benefit him a little bit more. But there's guys that's been at home since March. You know what I mean? So they're ready to get back to playing too, and it's not just about two teams.
Exactly.
So the Warriors.
You know what I mean? It goes hand in hand, you know, in that situation. No team is favored because of another thing, you know, in that situation. So it's big for fans. It's big for a lot of things that can happen. And they're going to figure it out. And you know, we're going to get back to basketball and have some fun. You know, even, you know, you think the media doesn't want to break? I mean, this has been like almost a 12-month thing, literally. You know, we're going to be right back into the draft coming next week. which sounds crazy. The week after next, you know, and then after that, we got training camp December 1st. And a few weeks later after that, preseason, and then the season tips off. So we have to be, you know, prepared and get going. So, you know, it's a haul for everybody, but, you know, as long as you take those mental breaks and this will show who really loves this at the end of the day.
I'm not prepared for the season yet. Like, when you really think about it, we have 10 days left till the draft. Free agency is going to come right after that. Training camp's going to be right after that. And then it's up and going. Like, it seems like just yesterday I was taking an L because the Miami Heat went far further in the playoffs than I anticipated. and now here we are. And it's about to be a sprint over the next month from the draft. And this is like got to be the most scrutinized draft in NBA history. These teams have been looking at these players forever, and nothing has changed. Like nothing has changed. And I'm sure the players who take good care of their bodies can really benefit from having 7 months since their last game to work on their bodies, work on their games. But I feel like there's going to be even more like work than usual for the front offices of projecting how different a player will be from the time they last played a college game to the time they're going to step on an NBA court. Because there's going to be so many changes for some of these guys being away from the game for games for 7 months.
Yeah, I think that's something to watch. Specifically the young guys. I think, you know, like we saw in the bubble, like guys like Tyler Hero and other young guys, you saw them make a jump from the players that they were from just March, right? And that's typically what you see from young guys. A dude like a LeBron, James Harden, like they're going to be who they're going to be no matter what, right? So I think it will be interesting to see how the young guys respond to coming back on those teams, on those horrible teams that didn't even make it to the bubble, right? That haven't played since March. I think that'll be something to watch. For me, I'm actually a little disappointed that the league and the TV partners didn't have the foresight to just like, dude, do we really need 72 games? Like, wouldn't it have just been better just do like 60? Just basically everybody plays each other two times. Freaking schedule these games of the weeks and like actually try to experiment a little with like maybe you'll get more people to watch with less inventory. But I know that the partners don't really, they don't really possess that type of foresight. They're looking at it as, look, these games are products that we sell stuff against. We want as many as we can get, but I'm a little disappointed that, you know, the rest and relaxation, the quote unquote, technology and science and you know, progressive thinking on injuries and rest, the league that claims to be that, is just going to shove down to 72 games in this amount of time just because they can't bear themselves to play less games. I'm disappointed in that, but whatever. You know, I'm happy that the league's going to be back in 6 weeks and we'll have plenty of shit to talk about and watch.
I'm glad they decided to keep the play-in tournament, or it looks like they're going to keep the play-in tournament too. I need the play-in tournament. I think that was great for drama. And it's like, It causes drama where there otherwise wouldn't be. Like the Blazers were never going to have an upset in last year's playoffs, but they made things interesting. They caused a ruckus. They had, you know, that great playing game against Memphis. We got to see Ja Morant in a game that really mattered. So I just think that was really interesting and really fun and something that doesn't take away from, you know, the so-called integrity of the regular season. I think you can keep the integrity of the regular season while also adding a layer of drama and a layer of fun and a layer of excitement to really teams that otherwise wouldn't be that exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I was a fan of the playing game. You know, Memphis, you kind of felt bad for them in that situation. They were the freaking eighth seed. They were the team shooing for the playoffs the entire season. And then it just, you know, sort of fell apart for them in the play-in tournament. Of course, they lost Jaren Jackson, who's probably their best player, which didn't help them. But yeah, I thought it was dope for drama and provided plenty of intrigue. And again, as people who have to watch the regular season for our jobs, we know that a lot of these games are overkill. And so this is a dope way to make those games matter in a way that they just simply would not. Those games in the dog days of April and March, where it's a bunch of teams going nowhere, sitting guys, you know, Mark Madsen taking buzzer beater threes and all of that. Like
the those Mark games, Madsen reference.
Yeah, man. Like those, I'll never forget that, bro. Like they were literally damn near throwing the game by just ridiculous lineups that they were putting out there. It was crazy. But, you know, we know those games can be, it's a little tough on the eyes, man. A lot of these games at the end of the season with teams that are completely out of it. But now, you know, this will make a good chunk of those games more relevant, more important, and more exciting for us and the fans, of course. So that's dope. Again, NBA season is coming back December 22nd, y'all. So please get ready. Now we're moving on to what I know a lot of people, the fans and media, love the most, the transaction stuff. Chris Paul, basically, after that game that they lost to the Rockets, basically wrote a goodbye letter to OKC. Like, I am not going to be here next year. And, you know, you would assume that a team that's trying to rebuild, they let Billy Donovan go because it seems like they're going in a rebuild direction. They let him pursue something that would be more competitive. That was a sign that this is what they're trying to do. So
plus,
if they're trying to
he had a goodbye video.
Right, exactly. Music behind it and all that. So OKC's trying to rebuild. It seems like they want to get rid of, they're incentivized to get rid of Chris Paul. Chris Paul, when he got traded from the Rockets, was seen as a bad deal, a guy on his last legs. So the Rockets had to give stuff up in order to get rid of Chris Paul. Right. Like they had to sweeten up the pot with draft picks, et cetera, et cetera. That's not going to be the case for OKC, which is what I think makes this trade market for Chris Paul more interesting, because I think it puts more teams in the sort of bidding. Right. Obviously, his contract is such that it's going to be difficult to match salaries in a Chris Paul deal. But I think he showed all last season and through the playoffs that he is a quality player in nut crunching time in the playoffs, and he would be an extremely dope addition to any number of contenders. Of course, I think the obvious one that needs him the worst is Milwaukee. They don't have playmakers of the level that you pretty much need when your best guy is a finisher, right? Like Giannis, I think, has been miscast the past 2 years as some type of give it to him at the top of the key and let him create offense. I think if he had somebody that was setting him up the way you see a LeBron James and Rondo set up Anthony Davis, that would benefit him, you know, so much to have that. And I think Chris Paul would be perfect for that. He'd be perfect for that in Milwaukee. And it would be a sign, you know, that they'd be sending to Giannis Milwaukee as far as ownership and management, that they're willing to do what it takes to try to win, right? Like the window is now. Giannis is in the prime of his career. They need to be trying to win yesterday. And so I think they would be the most intriguing trade partner. Trey, have you heard of or thought of any other trade scenarios for one Chris Paul?
Yes. Nets might be left field, but Chris Paul to Phoenix for Ricky Rubio and Kelly Oubre. The money works out. The Suns get a vocal leader, an immediate leader, takes the leadership off of Devin Booker's hands so he can solely focus on scoring and other things to improve. Chris Paul has a relationship with the Suns general manager, who used to be in New Orleans, Bauer, and then also a relationship with Coach Monty Williams. He also has a young team that is very, experienced, got a chance to play, really hard for Coach Monty Williams. Don't mind being pushed by a vet in the locker room, and it won't come off as too pushy in that Phoenix space. And the numbers, they're able to handle that $35 million that Chris Paul solely possesses. Oklahoma would get back Kelly Oubre, who is on an expiring deal. Ricky Rubio has 2 years left, but is 30 years old, has dealt with some injuries. would be a good dangling piece to move if they're in the rebuilding stage. So it works out for both teams.
Man, that's interesting. I think it's always having two primary ball handlers, offensive initiators, is better than having one, in my opinion. I think it would be dope because Devin Booker to me is dope both on ball and off ball, right? Like we've seen him do both very effectively last season. And I think it would be dope to watch to see what he could do, not having the responsibility of setting everybody up. I think most people outside of his individual defense would say one of his weaknesses was that he wasn't much of a playmaker, but he improved by leaps and bounds last season on that front. And so I think, you know, having him pick his spots to do that now with a Chris Paul type would be good for him and, you know, by extension, good for the team. Man, that would just be a dope team to watch, having those two incredibly dope offensive initiators in the fold, Jay. I don't know about you. Can you think of any other sort of teams that Chris Paul would make some type of sense on?
Well, I kind of like that Suns one. I think, long-term, that franchise has to be looking at how to set up Devin Booker with enough talent around him to really be competitive. But right now in the short term, like they were pretty good this year. They were competitive for the first time in a while. They play defense and they have like a bunch of young guys who are at least interesting. I like Bridges. Cameron Johnson's at least interesting. DeAndre Ayton, he may never be Luka Doncic, but he's good. Like he's a good piece to have. I like their toughness. I like how they defend. I like a lot of what they're building over there. If you get Chris Paul in there, then all of a sudden that's a possible playoff team. It's a possible playoff team anyway, I guess, but in the loaded West, you never know. What's another goal? I think Milwaukee obviously is really interesting. I think the Knicks is one that would be like, wouldn't be a contender, but I believe they have basically the cap space, right, to take him on and could give some asset and just kind of take on his salary and treat him as like a free agent acquisition for a franchise that's probably not going anywhere. I don't know how that would help. Obviously, he went to Oklahoma City and helped them change things around for a team that nobody really anticipated would do much. But I just don't think New York has enough to like make a type of run like that. Even in the East, they're not nearly as talented as Oklahoma City was last year.
Hell no.
Yeah.
I think that would just be, you know, Chris Paul gets to live in New York. Obviously, he's a gajillionaire, and I think New York is one of the best cities in the world to live when you're extremely wealthy. So it would be dope for him, and he would have a hand in helping guys like RJ Barrett or whatever become more professional and help them in their development. But talent-wise, that team has no talent whatsoever. And so that's why I think it would be a dope thing, because I think it brings a steadying presence to the locker room, a certain level of professionalism to the locker room, while also not sacrificing your rebuild. Because you, Chris Paul is damn good still, but he will not be damn good enough to make the Knicks win anything meaningful next season. So they can continue to essentially tank while having a guy in there that's going to be a grown-up in the room with some of their younger guys. So I think it's a good deal for the Knicks if their goal is to be patient and do things the right way.
Then the other one, the obvious one, is Philadelphia.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
And they're kind of an unknown because I know they got Daryl Morey in there and they got Doc Rivers in there. But how much are they going to change? like obviously they're going to make changes to that roster. They're not coming back with Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Al Horford, Tobias Harris, and Josh Richardson. It's just not going to happen. But how much do they want to change and how badly do they intend to go for it right away? And I think going for Chris Paul, like that's a move that could make them a legitimate contender right away. If he's as good as he was in Oklahoma City and you put him next to Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and find some trade to move either Al Horford or Tobias Harris for him, then that makes them really, really interesting. Because I trust Morey to search for some pieces that will fit better around Simmons and Embiid. And I actually still believe in those two guys. Like, I know they're not perfect fits, but I think back to like 2-3 years ago when they had Marco Bellinelli and they had like shooters around them. And those guys were so good and they looked so good together. And, you know, obviously things haven't gone the same sense for them, but I just feel like they're so talented. And if you can keep them healthy and put a different roster around them, I mean, Chris Paul being a major piece to that, like that's a team that could potentially win the East pretty soon.
Yeah, 100%. I think similar to Milwaukee, I don't think the two guys, the two kids, Ben and well, obviously because Joel, by the position he plays, he needs somebody to get him the ball, right? Like, and I think Simmons kind of proved last year when the theory of the team was that they would be world beaters on defense because of the defensive talent that they had. And they would get enough playmaking from Ben Simmons to make it work on offense, right? Like the idea was that he would be some type of LeBron light type of big, you know, point forward type that would be able to initiate offense and get guys involved. But I don't think that bore any fruit last year. Like Ben Simmons was not some great offensive initiator. He's proven last year anyway, he didn't show that he was up for that challenge, right? And so Chris Paul solves that issue for them tomorrow. And I think another thing is this, like, these dudes need to be challenged, man. I'm talking about Simmons and Embiid. Like, they've been getting babied and coddled their whole freaking career. Chris Paul has a reputation for being a bit of an asshole about, you know, being a perfectionist and holding dudes accountable. And, you know, normally I'd say, you know, you might not want to put that mix with a certain type of star or superstar, but these kids have had it their way their whole career. And I'm sorry, they have not proven that that way was working. So I think it would be dope to get Chris Paul in there to, you know, again, sort of be a grown-up, to sound like a broken record. Man, that's what's holding it up to me. Like, I just don't see how Doc would be cool with that. he said that they made up, you know what I'm saying? Like that they've spoken and that they're good.
But it's one thing to make up and then it's another to coach
to move back in
again.
Together.
Yeah,
nah.
Exactly.
Nah. I might say hi to you when I see you at a party, you know what I'm saying? But I'm never getting back with you. It's over. You in the past.
Exactly. But I do think, like, just from a standpoint of developing the right habits for Simmons and Embiid. And I think, like, Embiid especially, you look at that guy, it's like, if he were just in a little better shape, like, it wouldn't take much for him to just be a transformative presence. And Simmons, like, I know Simmons has holes, but what he does, he's so good at it. And he's 6'10", and he's as fast as anyone in the league, and he's one of the best passers in the league, and he's an absolute force in transition. if Chris Paul can go in there, first of all, run the show. Like they just needed someone to run their offense last year in the worst way. And you see it like with the Lakers, even having Rondo out there to like notice when Anthony Davis has a mismatch in the post, like that stuff like that matters. And Chris Paul he's a basketball genius. And put him in there, I think Embiid gets better. I think Simmons, because of Chris Paul's there, gets better. And if you can figure out, you know, the Chris Paul Doc Rivers dynamic, then I think that makes it a better basketball fit and a better like just chemistry fit overall for that team.
So Waz,
go ahead.
Who do you have for? I know we spent a lot of time on Chris Paul, but where do you see Jrue Holiday ending up?
Okay, before we get to Jrue Holiday, I just got to mention one thing, just obligatory. After the season, of course, Clutch sort of, I guess, let Lakers management know, even though Clutch and Lakers management is the same thing at this point, but they sort of let Lakers management know that they would love to see them go after Chris Paul. Again, that's obligatory. I don't know that realistically they can get the salaries and all of that stuff to work. But whatever, we just wanted to mention that the Lakers obviously would be interested in Chris Paul. I think he would be a dope fit in Clippers, ironically. But I, you know, again, that's another thing that I find hard to believe will be happening. But yeah, just so we can move on from Chris Paul. But yeah, I think, man, Jrue Holiday, he presents different qualities than Chris Paul in the sense that he's not your point god, if you will, right? But I think somewhere like Phoenix, somewhere like Denver, with, you know, a Devin Booker and why am I blanking on the light-skinned kid's name? Jamal Murray. those guys. those dudes, I think Jrue Holiday fits perfectly with those type of guys. Like he can let them rest off ball because they're great. They're great shooters. They're great moving without the ball. Jrue Holiday can take on those responsibilities and he can guard your one or your two, depending on the matchup, to let them rest on that end as well. So I think he would be perfect for Denver for sure, right? Like he's a way elevated Gary Harris. You know what I'm saying? Gary Harris doesn't present basic. Gary Harris in theory is a 3-and-D guy, but he refused to make threes for 2 years. So I don't know if we can credibly call him that anymore, but he's taking on your toughest assignment in the backcourt. And he's, you know, he's a corner three type of guy. I think Jrue Holiday is just a way upgraded version of that because he's going to give you a little bit of the playmaking and pick and roll. He can knock down open shots and he defends the hell out of the ball, right? And so that to me would make Denver way better. And of course, you know, Phoenix as well. I think the Lakers, of course, and the Clippers will be very interested in Jrue Holiday. I don't think they're going to have enough to make it work, especially for the shit that they gave away for Anthony Davis and Paul George, respectively, as far as draft capital and draft assets or whatever. But yeah, Denver's the name that you hear come up over and over and over again for Jrue Holiday.
Jay, who do you have Jrue going to?
I think Brooklyn makes sense, too.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. I think Jrue is such an interesting piece, not just because he's as good as he is, but because he seems like just a great fit for a lot of teams. Like if you already have the top playmaker or the top two playmakers and you need a guy to come in and fit and play defense and be able to play on or off ball and not care whether he gets all the touches, like Jrue Holiday is your guy. And be an incredible locker room presence. Everyone says he's just a super, super guy. Like Jrue Holiday makes a lot of sense to me with the Nets for some of those reasons. I think obviously Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are going to have the ball in their hands a lot, but that team could use a wing defender. That team could use, I think, like another ball handler, but a ball handler like Caris LeVert. I think he needs to be running pick and rolls, and Spencer Dinwiddie needs to be running pick and rolls. Jrue Holiday is more like a secondary playmaker to me, and I just think he would fit in so well next to those guys and give them some needed toughness on the perimeter and give them a guy who just doesn't care about the numbers, doesn't care about anything else, and can kind of set the tone defensively for that group. And I think because of the fit with LeVert and Dinwiddie and Kyrie and Durant, I just don't like the fit with with those supporting pieces, I think they need to juggle the roster around a little bit and shuffle things up. And Drew Holiday, to me, would be option number one for them.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay. See, yeah. And I mean, now they've been rumored that way. And I also had them going that way. I had Drew going to Milwaukee, and this trade actually works for Eric Bledsoe, Robin Lopez, and DiVincenzo. You know, obviously Drew would probably go back to his original position, which he started at point guard, taking over for Eric Bledsoe at the time. And then you still have George Hill on the books, you know, as a safety net backup guard. And is pretty much, you know, on the defensive end, makes them even stronger on ball, and Giannis behind them, as far as, you know, whoever they add in on there. But I do like Jay, where you said Brooklyn. I think they would just have to part ways with Caris LeVert and Dinwiddie to make that work with numbers wise, and probably have to throw in another player because those guys aren't making $26 million that Drew's making. You know what I mean? So yeah. These are the things that we have to factor in with the salary cap and things of that nature. But yeah, no, I mean, both are strategic, and I would love to see Spencer Dinwiddie in Los Angeles as well, the Clippers, not the Lakers. Cause he could help that team as well. But it's just so many potential guys that can end up everywhere. Like, I would love to see Derrick Rose in Los Angeles as well, whether a Laker or a Clipper. Guys that can really help places, you know, just going across the board, you know, Draymond Green potentially in, you know, Portland. You know, like, you can go anywhere as far as, you know, just throwing guys in different places in this short off season.
Is there a trade to be found with Golden State for Drew Holiday?
Like, I have not heard of anything that nature. I mean, I know that if
I think Golden State is they're dangling that number two pick. I think they feel like they're above a Drew Holiday deal for that number two pick. I think they don't view him as the kind of player that would be worth moving on from that pick. But yes, he would make sense in Golden State for sure. For all the reasons we just mentioned. I will say, from the Denver chatter, there's been, you know, sort of whispers out there that Denver, that Griffin Griffin and New Orleans are asking for Jesus,
what's Michael Porter Jr.?
Michael Porter Jr. Yeah, the other light-skinned homie. Michael Porter Jr. And that would seem to be a non-starter. So that's whenever Griff is involved in a deal, be careful what you're hearing out there, because he's very savvy at getting the tough talk out there, right? Like, where he's like, yo, shit, we're willing to extend Drew Holiday. We can keep him. We're not in a rush to get rid of Drew Holiday. We'd love to have him. So you'll see chatter and stuff like, I mean, but for Michael Porter, we could be talked out of it and blah, 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 blah. So I think that they want to move on from Drew Holiday. And I think there's a will there to make it happen. We saw the reports when we heard that Drew Holiday was on the trade market, that he has not yet explicitly himself asked for a trade. Right. Which I guess, you know, I guess there's a distinction for whether the fans get to hate the guy or not, because the team decided to trade him and not he didn't ask to be moved, whatever. But that's just something we want to put out there, too, because I think if he does, be like, look, just please move me. I want to play for a real team, a contender, have a chance to win some things. I think the type of pick that you get from a team like Milwaukee, teams that are going to be picking late in the first round, I don't think they're going to get, you know, lottery type of picks for Jrue Holiday. So we'll see how that goes as we get closer.
If I were Denver, I would seriously consider trading Michael Porter Jr. Because
why do you say that?
Because I think he showed enough that he's a valuable trade asset, right? But I think there's also a lot of question marks about him. Like, will he ever be a decent defender, number one? But number two, and far more importantly, will his body hold up? Like, like right now could be the highest his trade value will ever be because he showed a lot during his first year as an NBA player. And he showed he could play even in the playoffs. They were better against the Clippers, I believe, pretty significantly when he was on the court. But, like, I have questions about him. And I think that Denver team with Jokic and Murray has a chance to contend for a title. And I may be feeling them a little too much. But I do think that in this NBA with no super dominant team, that they could be a third piece away from really, really contending. And if I were them, I'd be dangling Michael Porter Jr. I'd at least be seeing what I could get with him to try to bolster the top of that roster and make an even stronger run at it.
Yeah, and while I hear you, I think Denver, the problem for them is that they view Michael Porter's development as their only chance at getting a third type of star type of guy. We know that historically they haven't been a free agent destination type. And, you know, they have been one of the cheapest teams in the league for years now. The Cronkies are extremely fucking frugal. So I think that's why they're going to keep him around, right? Because they view him as their only viable way to get another superstar in their building. That being said, you know, our colleague John Hollinger said that he was involved with Memphis still when they were looking into whether or not to draft this kid. And Hollinger said, quote, he had one of the worst medicals I've ever seen. That's why he fell in the draft. So, you know, I'm with you, Jay. I you know, as somebody who doesn't really give a damn about young guys, I would be more than willing to part with him to get a Jrue Holiday in there.
Yeah.
But I can understand Denver's apprehension. We got to move on because we're pressed for time. It's looking like James Wiseman is going to be the number one pick by the Minnesota Timberwolves, or they're going to trade out of the pick, and whoever trades up to get it is going to take James Wiseman. This is the young man who, you know, he played 3 games at Memphis and they cut him off because of the Penny Hardaway scandal, blah, 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 blah. Who cares? We don't care about NCAA infractions on this show. But as Trey had reminded me before we got on the call, Wiseman and his people have already put it out there that they want no parts of Minneapolis and Minnesota, which I just think is uproariously hilarious that a kid this young already knows, like, bruh, I am not trying to be up there.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of Kermit and Miss Piggy, right? And when I say this, with this analogy, is that Minnesota's Miss Piggy, right? And Wiseman is Kermit. Like, and eventually they're going to end up with each other. Like, regardless if he wants to go there or not, they're going to take the best available that they feel best available, regardless if he wanted to be with it, and he's going to deal with it. Now, ideally, he was vocal about not wanting to go there because Karl Anthony Towns is there, which means, what are you going to do? You're going to move Towns to the 4 and play him at the 5? He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to share the spotlight. He wants to be the sole big of a franchise. Now, Charlotte is making their play. Of course, the most Michael Jordan move ever. Wants to go and try to get Wiseman and pry him from Minnesota. So initially, why I mentioned the whole Miss Piggy and Kermit thing is that although Kermit wants other things and is not seeing the long-term process of what Miss Piggy has to offer, he ends up dating and figures out he likes it. So maybe Minnesota might be a good fit for him. Who knows? I don't know, but at the potential situation, he doesn't want to be there. And I know that if he ends up in Minnesota, LaMelo Ball possibly will be a Golden State Warrior. But I preferably would like to see LaMelo Ball as a Chicago Bull.
The Timberwolves fit with Towns and with Wiseman would be so weird. Just so weird. And I think both those guys are definitely centers in today's NBA. And I'm not sure either of them, at least the way Wiseman is right now, can play four defensively at all. And then you've got D'Angelo Russell at guard. He can't really play defense either. that would just, I think that would be setting the guy up for a failure.
And it says a lot about Karl Anthony Towns that your organization doesn't think that you'll ever be a good defensive big. Like, that's insane to me, bro. Like, we've watched, even begrudgingly, I had to give it up to Nikola Jokic. Like, he's become passable on that end, you know, to complement his otherworldly offensive ability, right? Like, he's passable. He's competent enough because he's so explosive on offense. He's doing enough. The fact that your organization that allegedly views you as their franchise player is just like, yo, we need to get somebody in here who's going to actually anchor a defense. That's insane. That's crazy to me. That's absolutely crazy to me.
Yeah. But it's fair. But it's totally fair because he has shown no signs of evolving as a defender into even like a passable defender. He's atrocious defensively and he's incredible offensively. And I think that Timberwolves team could score a ton of points with Towns and Russell. I just think I'm, as a basketball fan, I'm hoping Wiseman falls to number two because I think he would fit so well with Golden State. I think if you put a 7-foot-1 athlete next to Stephen Curry and next to Draymond Green, it makes so much sense. He wouldn't have to do too much. He could just learn the game, set some screens, roll to the basket, learn how to play defense a little bit, and he could take advantage of all the space that Curry and Klay Thompson open up. I think that is a perfect fit, and I think that's part of the reason why Golden State values the number two pick as highly as they do is because Wiseman might be available. If he's not, I don't love the top of this draft. Like, I don't think anyone loves the top of this draft. And maybe that's why Minnesota, according to Jonathan Wasserman, how do you say it?
Wasserman,
whatever it is.
Yeah, let's go with Wasserman.
Of Bleacher Report. He's the one who reported that it's likely Wiseman number one to Minnesota. Maybe that's why they're falling in love with Wiseman, because they don't like Edwards. They don't like LaMelo Ball. But the top of this draft is kind of a crapshoot, and Wiseman, I guess you could fall in love with. It's easy to fall in love with a guy who's 7-foot-1 and can really move, man.
Yeah, and so we'll see what happens. You know, again, whenever you get, it's silly season with the draft. Like, teams are just putting out all types of lies because they're trying to get people to move up and give them things to move up and all of this stuff. So you never really know what to believe. It was just last week, Anthony Edwards was allegedly a lock at number one. So we'll see how this all plays out on the 18th. That's our show today. Make sure you're tuning in every single day to check out Tampering with Sam Amick, Hoops Adjacent with myself and the legendary Hall of Famer David Aldridge. Of course, we got Nerd as She Wrote with Dude 4, Seth Partnow, and my man Mo Doc Hill. Yeah, man, just be checking us out. Make sure you take advantage of the Athletic promo. We're going $1 a week, y'all. This is damn near free. If you sign up for The Athletic today, you can get The Athletic for just $1 a week. So make sure you're checking out that promotion. For Black Dre and Jay King. For Black Dre and Jay King. I'm Big Waz. We're out of here. Peace.
All right, y'all. I got to get the fuck out of here. They charge me.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.